1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you, and our guy Nate Taylor from The Athletic just walked in the studio. He joins us every Tuesday, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, back from Vegas. I know when we were sitting there in the press box, you said you had a little show you were going to go to after as well. How was the Cirque? Which Cirque show was it?
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil.
Right.
Oh, okay.
In the Bellagio. this is all credit to Holly. My lovely wife.
You take her to the designer stores after? Go get her a Prada purse?
We walked by her. I told her.
Eye candy.
No, thank you. it was a great experience. It's like Olympic level diving.
Wow.
Like 50, 100 feet in the air. And you're just like, and the landing zone is not, I mean, it's not very big. So beyond just the dramatic music and the acting, obviously with Cirque du Soleil, I think this is the majority of their work outside of maybe the Michael Jackson one, which I guess is pretty popular.
I saw that one here in Kansas City. Yeah, once. It was
in
cool.
In Las Vegas. Outside of that, they don't really talk. Mm-hmm. They let you sort of feel the vibes, the emotions. So it was enjoyable. We did the 9:30 show. We got out at 11:30. I was like, you sure you don't want to hit that thing? You don't want to get to the old slots, the old poker, the old blackjack. She loves
really?
Blackjack until blackjack breaks her. And it happens to us all.
I stick to almost exclusively sports wagering.
Yeah, we didn't do any table
games. Had a nice little weekend on that.
Yeah.
Almost exclusively sports wagering because we had a lot of stuff going on from event.
Yeah, I didn't play a single table game on this trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Okay.
Just sports betting.
Yeah. Holly has no interest in sports betting. And per the mothership, I should have no interest in sports betting either. Now, I tell people I can technically bet. It's not the NFL. I could bet on college football or basketball. Obviously, baseball. I got that right. The Dodgers are better. Wow. I was like, hey, man, the Royals almost beat them, guys. Like,
yeah.
This is not the 27 Yankees.
Something we can discuss right now, okay. A little breaking news in the NFL. Adam Schefter reporting
Whoa.
The Carolina Panthers are trading wide receiver Deontay Whoa. Johnson to the Baltimore Ravens.
Sign me up.
Not the Texans with the Stephon Diggs injury. I thought you were about to tell me the Texans pull off a trade, but they must feel good about Nico Collins coming back. So
yes.
There's Baltimore's counter
yes.
to the rest of the receiver moves. I mean,
Zay Flowers have been really good.
He has.
Also, they're trying to be the 2018 Chiefs? They're just giving up on defense? They're just going to try to see how many points they can put on the board? What's the plan there?
I mean, look,
They can already score.
Yes, they don't have as good enough of a pass rush as they had last year. The defensive coordinator, who was now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, not good, you know? It's tough to ask a first-time defensive coordinator to stabilize and maintain the level of excellence they had last year. Jadeveon Clowney's there now, no more. So, again, Kyle Hamilton, poor Kyle Hamilton. Also, actually, I want to thank Kyle Hamilton because without his mistake, we don't get the full-on Jameis Winston effect in its entirety. Me and Drew were next to one another in the press box, and the guttural sounds we made with Kyle Hamilton dropped that interception, and then, of course, the very next play is the game-winning touchdown. They need help. I think to your point, Cody, sure, they could be trying to be more offensive heavy. Lamar Jackson's window is right now. Derrick Henry's playing very, very good. But they need another reliable receiver because Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews is not going to cut it in January. So having another receiver like Deontay Johnson, who apparently wants to be in Baltimore. Wants to be on the – ladies and gentlemen, you've asked me. Now I can give you the answer because we have the news. Deontay Johnson like being in the East Coast. East Coast boy.
Really?
East Coast guy.
Oh, so like really Kansas City going calling around. He didn't want to be in the middle of the country.
I think the trade compensation, I think his desire, you know, hey, how many targets can I get is also something that you have to think of from a receiver standpoint. There's more opportunity in Baltimore right now considering Juju will come back, we believe, relatively soon. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is now in the mix. So that was, you know, sort of the counter to what you couldn't do in Carolina. Carolina almost also waited a week. I don't know if that made a difference or not, because whether you if you try to wait it out as long as you can, Can you get a better draft pick?
Christian Kirk being off the market maybe helped, or you know, with him having the shoulder injury or whatever it is down there. That's one thing. Like, now my thing is with Baltimore, now they're going to convince themselves in the playoffs, Nate, that they should just pass the ball again and not run it. So this is beautiful. This actually is going to help the Chiefs because they're going to be convinced in January they don't need to run the football with Derrick Henry anymore.
Honestly, it's a little bit lower than I was anticipating. It is a pick swap.
Yes.
Panthers getting a fifth round pick, Deontay Johnson in a sixth.
Yeah.
So, I can't blame the Ravens for making that move. That's a relatively cheap price tag to pay for Deontay Johnson. I'd have done that same move if I were Kansas City had they not already gotten DeAndre Hopkins.
Now, one thought I should also mention too is he going to agree to a extension?
They get him next year. Yeah.
I'm going to double check this. I think Baltimore has more relative cap space.
It's pretty close
to the Chiefs.
In Kansas City, it's close.
Okay. Again, I don't know what their cap situation is. Obviously, the next couple years, I do not cover them, ladies and gentlemen. But it is a thought.
You don't just have that memorized?
Yeah.
I've just looked at it somewhat recently. So like,
right.
They have the Ravens were in the range.
They have Zay Flowers, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of wide receivers moving forward beyond this season. So, again, is that also a part of in play as well? Like the Chiefs, based on their cap situation,
maybe Ravens are worse. Ravens are currently – oh, sorry, that's this year. Ravens are technically negative $60,000.
Yeah, I'm looking at the next 2 years, 2025 and 2026. They have obviously plenty of money in 2026. They have a decent amount.
Kansas City and Ravens, just 20, like I thought.
25.
Really similar. Kansas City has an effective cap space of $22 million. Next year, the Ravens have 14.
Yeah. So, again, what happens with Mark Andrews? I mean, there's obviously money that they can – I mean, Ronnie Stanley, I mean, he literally – who knows what's going to happen with him just because it's a void year. And so, I mean, again, I don't know them inside and out. I could obviously talk to my buddy Zach Zarba, or Jeff Zarba, excuse me. There's a feeling though that with everything that's going on, does Deontay Johnson see more opportunities, you know, being with Lamar, being on the East Coast, having a chance, obviously compete for a championship, and he could also get maybe paid more with Baltimore than Kansas City if everything goes well.
Yeah, it's weird on the, as we're joined by Nate Taylor from The Athletic, and if you're just joining us, the news here recently that Deontay Johnson is getting traded to the Baltimore Ravens. You mentioned maybe and more of an opportunity. I mean, look, Lamar's incredible. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. I know people think that's crazy, but he will. He's already won the MVP twice.
Yes.
He's never thrown for 4,000 yards, so I always question when, not you, Nate, but just anybody says, like, the production in Baltimore, more production for a receiver. I mean, it's like, the yards just aren't going to be there. He has never thrown for more than 3,800 yards, so I question that a little bit.
A little. But I also know, too, that, like, that's why he brought in Todd Monken, right? Some degree. Now, hey, let's not go buck wild. But I mean, look, he was throwing to like Odell Beckham and who was the other receiver? Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, Bateman's still there.
Yeah, I mean, like those were his second and third options in the AFC Championship game last year, and the Chiefs essentially smothered them. His only receiver that was effective was Zay Flowers, a rookie, and obviously we know his mistakes in that game. So, again, if you're trying to build and this is what I love, honestly, just from an observer, someone who's obviously, been a reporter, been covering the NFL for a decent amount of time. You just want to see relatively smart, competitive moves to elevate the competition. Because there was an argument that last year was the year you should have gotten the Chiefs, i.e. that's the Ravens issue. And so to rectify that, you need to do as much as possible to give yourself a chance. I didn't think Buffalo was going to be this good.
I didn't either.
And now they're in the mix, right? Same with Baltimore. Baltimore fell back, obviously losing to the Browns, and so you're encouraged a little bit to do more. I think it's really a four-team race now in the AFC. We pretty much know who is going to win each division, and then we move forward from there. So, I love this because – he and I believe the Chiefs and Ravens will probably meet sometime in January. He was not involved in the first game. Neither was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah,
you know. So all those factors.
Was
yeah, all right. Exactly. Things, all those factors make it intriguing.
I did look it up. Lamar is on pace for 4,460 yards this year.
That'd be the first time in his career over 4,000.
So he's well over the pace at the moment. So it's certainly been impressive. Where do you think they rank in the AFC? We did our rankings essentially. We didn't do it in all so many words. but were the Ravens the second best team in the AFC in your mind anyway? Because I think their biggest problem is they are the least balanced of all the division winners you just said. Yeah. Chiefs have a good offense, good defense, top 10 in both. Bills, top 10 offense, defense. Texans, top 10 offense, defense. Stars on both sides of the ball. Yes. We'll get Nico Collins back. Ravens can't guard. So, like, for me, they're below all of those teams. And the fear I have for them to take the Chiefs down in the AFC right now, they have maybe the best quarterback and the best offense, but they're not balanced. The other teams are.
And I think another reason why you would make this trade, too, is Lamar has to stay healthy, you know, throughout the course of the rest of the season and be, you know, at his absolute as healthy as he can possibly be for his apex moment in the AFC division round or AFC championship game, whether that's a rematch. I'm still fearful of Lamar's legs with at least somebody else to throw to who could potentially be open, like Deontay Johnson. I want to believe in the Houston Texans. Obviously, we're going to see the Chiefs play them later on this season, but they've only had one round of experience. You know, they had the amazing win against Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns last year, and they got a real wake-up call playing a top-level contender in Baltimore. So I want to believe them. I never thought that like Stephon Diggs was going to be the reason they got to the Super Bowl or not. Like, it's unfortunate.
No,
I
wasn't a believer in that signing.
I wasn't a believer in that either, and I felt that there was a wise move for Buffalo. And so, I think CJ is the next guy, but it might take another year because that is the way it naturally progresses. I like to remind people all the time.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is a freaking unicorn, man. He showed up and they've been in the AFC championship game every year. That is not normal. So it might take the Texans another trip, right? I would love to see that rematch between them and Baltimore. And then for Buffalo, anybody but the Chiefs. I can see them getting through because
that's so hard.
Because their defense,
if they have to face the Chiefs.
I know their defense is not great either. It's good enough. They're opportunistic, but man, he is playing out of his mind, and it's been great to watch. So Josh Allen right now is my MVP front runner, I guess you could say, as we're nearing the halfway point of the regular season. But I do think Josh Allen can beat the Bills. Beat the Ravens. I do think he can beat the Texans. The matchups in the trenches are not good for Buffalo. But again, I would like to see it again.
Are the Chiefs done making any making any moves?
No. What corner are they trading for?
Because that's where we've keyed our attention on is the cornerback market. We know they just traded for an edge rusher yesterday.
Yes.
We know about D-Hop. Do they have enough there at corner with the injuries now, including Nazi Johnson, who's in concussion protocol?
The Chiefs, I mean, this is great. I just cannot stress this enough that, you know, Buffalo made their move. Chiefs respond. Now Baltimore is responding. Mm-hmm. So it obviously the arms race is really ratcheted up. You know, the Texans haven't made a move, but again, they're a relatively young team. So who's to say, you know, CJ's under a rookie contract, so in a little different timeline. The Chiefs will try. I don't know if it's going to happen between now and Election Day next Tuesday, November 5th at 3:00 Central Time.
Same time? Those are on the same day?
Same day, man. Same day. Hey, man, the amount of texts I'm getting. Guys, I've already voted. As I told you all last week, I've already done my civic duty.
I'm going
tomorrow. Stop texting me about issues that I've already made decisions on.
The emails and texts are out of control.
Hey, Kamala. Tone it down. just a little, okay? Because I think, you know, most people can get overconsumed by this stuff, and I think most people have made their decisions by now. But who's to say? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Nick Bosa. Thank you. I didn't know. But thank you. Thank you. Hey, just want to get the message out. You know, let me get the hat on. And not another ad, Nick Bosa. Not another one. God dang it. I just want to see the Chiefs continue to push the envelope, to push the chips. Now I got to be honest, they don't have a lot of picks left because they gave up a 6.
But one was in 2026. That's essentially giving up nothing, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's trading nothing.
Yes. But in terms, you know, if they're true to trying to maintain their 2 third-round picks, then I don't know how much you're going to squeeze out of the next again the next week. But they'll try. And I think the Chiefs should be given a lot of credit for, you know, finding a player that fits their offense. I mean, I think that was, again, I think the idea of Deontay Johnson was really, really fun, really, really cool. I think he can be really, really helpful in the Chiefs offense. Now he's in Baltimore. But if you think he's a replicable or similar player to Hollywood Brown, and you've already committed to Hollywood Brown for this year and perhaps next year, okay, there might be a little bit of redundancy there. I get it. But you did find a player who was experienced and on 2 days of practice came in and was really effective in the first half, which is all you could ask, because that's all they could game plan for him before obviously getting into the second half. And I was a little bit surprised that he did play the amount of snaps he did, obviously that being DeAndre Hopkins.
Isn't it kind of crazy? The one thing about DeAndre Hopkins that always stands out, and maybe it's just been because Rashee Rice was always like learning on the fly, and then we sadly did not get enough time with him this year to see it fully come to fruition. When I watch DeAndre Hopkins play, I'm like, man, that is a professional-ass wide receiver. That is just like,
yep,
goes where he's supposed to go, cuts the way he's supposed to cut, catches the ball the way you're supposed to. This sounds
wild,
stupid,
ain't it?
But like, catches the ball the way you're supposed to catch the ball. Like, it just, like, the thing that stood out to me is like, he's just doing the job like a pro. Something I felt like we hadn't seen a lot in here over the last couple of years, because they had some guys learning or guys who just weren't good at the job. Like, I mean, you know, so it's been like, it felt like it had been too long since I saw that.
Hey, I completely understand it, because I would like to remind people yet again, this is my job. Richie James was on the roster last year, guys.
I forgot.
Shout out Richie James.
Hey, man. The punt's going in the end zone. I got to take it out.
McCole's got a case of that, too, sometimes.
Hey, Richie, what are you doing? You know, they had so many drops last year. Marquez Valdes-Scantlin. Is he going to play again? I mean, I know he's with the Saints. Did he sign with the Saints, or did he just work out?
I think he signed.
He's going to play at some point, okay? But let me remind you, Marquez Valdes-Scantlin is open in the deep portion of the field.
The way you're describing this, Nate, is actually a really good point to talk about. Like, anybody who, like,
what was his name? What was his name again?
Marquez.
His name is Marquez, by the way.
I'm sorry.
So the way you're describing it, though, is actually a really good reason why, like, when people like Mike Renner call us, like, oh, it's a fake undefeated.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
This is a really good reminder. The wide receivers you just listed last year, half of them don't have jobs. Sky Moore probably needed this surgery 5 weeks ago. They told him to get it to get a roster spot. So Sky Moore doesn't have a job.
Yes.
Richie James doesn't have a job. MVS just had to get a new job because he got fired from the old job.
Uh-huh.
That's last year's wide receiver crew.
And let's not forget Kadarius Toney, too.
Also doesn't have a job. They got four guys out of work. They're at the unemployment line.
It's crazy.
I mean, so they're definitely better at wide receiver, even without Rashee Rice.
Yes, to a degree. And again, Rashee was their saving grace to give them a legitimate third option. Because what was great about the postseason last year, it was a magnificent coaching job by Andy Reid and, Matt Nagy and Mike Giardi, the quarterback's coach, to say, we have three players. Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, and Rashee Rice. We might sprinkle in a little Justin Watson just to keep you honest, but ultimately, that's where the ball's going. And so there's a chance with DeAndre Hopkins, you know, getting better, getting more ingratiated, just getting the old chemistry and timing down with Mahomes even more. Travis Kelce, obviously,
he's fine at it.
Having a nice stretch over the last couple of weeks. Juju Smith-Schuster, he will come back from the hamstring. I think there's a chance that Hollywood Brown might be in uniform sometime in mid to late December. Who knows if he's available for Christmas Day against the, how are they 6-2?
Mike Tom.
Mike Pittsburgh Steelers. And then, of course, you have Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco back as well. So they have a more well-rounded potential starting lineup for Mahomes than they ever had at any point in January last season.
Andy was asked about the offensive linemen, specifically the left tackles, yesterday, and he said, "Look, we're young, right? We got a lot of young guys at that left tackle spot." Wanya Morris had three holding calls in like an 8-play span or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, it's still wild to think that Kingsley was at one point the clear left tackle for this team. Now it's Wanya. He still gives him the best chance. You agree with that? And is this just what it's going to be inconsistent all year? There's going to be times where he's going to have mistakes like this, and this is what we have to expect the rest of the way.
He is technically their best chance because he technically has more experience than Kingsley.
Yeah.
So he essentially is the starter by default. Now he's done nothing that's like truly catastrophic. You know, one of the things that we learned from the game though is that, you know, again, this is from Next Gen Stats, kind of jumped out to me that for his penalty issues, Juwan Taylor did not allow a single pressure on 28 pass blocking matchups against Max Crosby, and 25 of those 28 were without a chip, i.e. one-on-one. So if
best game of the season career for the Chiefs, I mean
didn't allow a single pressure across 28 pass blocking matchups against Max Crosby, obviously the Raiders best player, offense or defense. So yeah, they, you know, Andy Reid's not wrong. They are young at that position, rookie versus second year player. I still think Kingsley Suamantaia is the more athletic option. The more he's sculpted in a way that screams left tackle. It's just the development is a little bit hampered because you're literally trying to win an unprecedented third straight Super Bowl. And so we'll take the more experienced player now over perhaps the player with the higher ceiling in Kingsley Suamantaia. So again, you never know what's going to happen. You know, at some point Kingsley can be back in the mix. But for right now, they've scored 28 points against the 49ers and 27 points against the Raiders, despite the issues continuing at the position. You can shore up some things like pass rush, like cornerback potentially, like, hey, we have a functional receiver. They really can't fix this. So you just hope the more experience Wanya Morris gets, the better he will play as the season moves along.
I don't think that that's unfair, but it's also just like they've told you their history before. They have always chosen experience over talent.
Yes.
In important years, which is every year under Patrick Mahomes.
At this point, yeah.
So, like, sorry, but that's just life as we know it. And I guess that kind of goes into the same thing. I still think it's a good deal for the Ravens, good deal for the Chiefs. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be fun. I'm glad he gets to be on a winning team.
Yes.
I always feel bad for, like, I shouldn't feel bad for DeAndre Hopkins. He could have gone anywhere. He chose a losing team.
He did.
I mean, you know. He did. He chose the contract. So he gets bailed out on the back end of choosing the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean.
And he gets bailed out, too, because, you know. As
you probably go right for the bleeding corpse of Deadspin at the page of triple.
You know. you know.
Triple?
For my life work balance? Yeah, I don't know. Again, my agent is Holly, you know. And you know, there's sometimes.
She's going to ask about those vacation days.
Yeah, there's sometimes I get an itch, you know, because, you know, I told you guys I love being at the ballpark. Sometimes sure. I get an itch to be like, it might be nice to go down and write a story on, like, Michael Massey or Salvador Perez.
Yeah.
Or just, like, you know, just mix it up a bit.
Our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Exactly. And Holly's like, Are you insane? No. No. So I don't know. I haven't had that situation pop up before, Cody. But I do love the fact that because Deontay Johnson was out there,
mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins said, "Come on now. Do me a favor.
Do me right.
Do me right now. Like, we not going nowhere, man." And so the Titans being the first team to fully wave the flag, instead of it being Carolina or instead of it being the New York Giants, who, again,
mm-hmm.
season's over, guys. I could have told you that 2 weeks ago. DeAndre Hopkins benefits from that. And so did the Chiefs because they didn't have to give up as much or, you know, they made it a conditional situation and they ate some money. Whereas, you know, obviously there's going to be a pick swap and Deontay Johnson goes.
Yeah, it's a pretty light compensation on Deontay Johnson. Now, from what you heard, and you kind of laid it out there a little bit on the timeline, maybe Carolina wasn't willing to trade Johnson a week ago. But do you know, like, were the Chiefs truly interested in him?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing for at this time of the year, you want to, as I told you guys before, they were not in on Amari Cooper. Like, that was, mm-hmm. that was
never a thing.
That was a no-go. So everybody else, they were kind of like in the mix, interested in, hey, they even.
They call the Rams even on Cooper Kupp?
Yes. And I was laughing because they were like, you know, what underling was like, hey, call Vegas for Devontae Adams. Like, even Devontae was like, yeah, they were interested, but like, they knew I wasn't going there. They knew they weren't trading me. So, like, what?
Team should just be calling on Devontae Adams again.
the Jets should flip him.
But yeah,
get what you can get.
So they've done their due diligence and they've picked the player that, again, as we talked about before, the most experienced player, the guy who's obviously motivated to, you know, help a team get over the top, the most sure-handed receiver available. And if he stays healthy, which is the biggest concern, you know, he seamlessly fits into your offense. And that was something that, I mean, I know you were in the locker room, Alex, but that was something that Travis Kelce told me specifically was just like, oh, yeah, this is going to work. And we only had him for like half the game today. So, again, as long as he stays healthy, the trade will most likely be favorable to the Chiefs. Because he fit what they needed right now, whereas I thought Deontay Johnson could fit what they needed right now and moving forward.
Fair enough, with a potential extension or something. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Appreciate it, man. Coming up next, Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, did join us earlier. We got his perspective on what the Chiefs are looking like, and it sounds like he took issue with our intro a little bit. We'll explain that next. So the folks over at SpotTrack put out just a breakdown of the recent wide receiver trades. It gives you an idea on the compensation and the salary. So when the Jets traded for Davante Adams, conditional third round pick, $11.8 million for 11 games. The Chiefs, conditional fifth round pick, $5.5 million over 11 games. Deontay Johnson, now if you're just joining us again, got traded to the Baltimore Ravens in the last half hour.
For pick swap.
Fifth for sixth round pick swap, $3.8 million for 9 games. Buffalo traded for Amari Cooper, as we know, for third and a seventh for a sixth, $800,000 over 11 games. One of these is not like the other. That would be
the Jets.
Davante Adams and the Jets, obviously overpaying just to make Aaron Rodgers happy. They've lost two games since they traded for Davante Adams. I'm sorry. So obviously did not change really anything. Thinking of the Jets, though, earlier today.
Perfect timing.
Our NFL insider joined us for his weekly visit, and we eventually got to the Jets, but we obviously asked him a little bit about how he sees the Chiefs at 7-0.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Davante Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show. Our Vin, FL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, it's that time of the week where we check in with our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Hold on. I'd like to make it clear. I never said that about the Davante Adams trade.
That was editorializing by our boss.
Yeah, you can blame Spec.
Was that Steven Spector?
That's
yeah,
right.
You did that? Yeah, hey, Steven, keep my name out of your mouth. Okay, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah, well, look, while we're making complaints and addressing issues, can we address your TV setup? We saw the photo, Vinny, from the weekend. What's the story there? One, it looked like the TV was crooked. There's also, like, no furniture.
Yeah, okay, so first off, I'm a simple man, but I like sports. So the TV's being crooked, I can explain. One, the people who framed my TVs did a fantastic job. Two, to the left of the screen, which you can't see, I have my gaming monitor where I play video games. And while I play video games, the two TVs on the left can move and they face me. So I rotate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I put them back, I don't even them up because I don't care. Because I don't have that kind of OCD.
Yeah.
That apparently all my Twitter followers have. Regardless, I'm happy, and it's my house, so I don't care.
Do you have a coffee table there? Feels like you could use like a table there.
No, there's a couch, there's a chair where I play video games at my desk, and then there's the TVs. I know I need to put an entertainment center, and I probably should get a rug, but I don't care.
Where do you put your, like, if you're drinking something, where do you set your drink?
I just put it on the floor. I invest my money where I want to put it, and coffee table is low on the list when it comes to TVs or video games or something for me. So
okay, that's fair. That's, you know what? This is why we have you on. We like to get to the really deep stuff.
Uh-huh. That's right.
What's the video
Ask
game?
Ask me about my tweet. Ask me about my tweet. I know you want to, Cody. Ask me about
my tweet. Yeah, we'll get to him in a second. Don't worry. We will get to him. What's the video game you're playing then? You said you got the monitor set up.
Well, I started playing college football again last night, but mostly Call of Duty came out last week, so I've been playing Call of Duty. I rip Fortnite with my friends almost every night. I play Madden, a lot of Madden. I went 19-1, 18-1 with the Jets. I lost in the Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was heartbreaking. A lot of my video games are actually spent playing Madden with the Jets because they can win a game there.
Wait, which tweet? Now I think I missed it, Vinny.
No, the lock and four.
Oh, yeah. I do want to ask you about that. Look, I want to actually congratulate you. Lock and four was already an enemy of the people in these parts, and now you've handled it. I don't know why people call for the injuries of players. We ran into this with Mike Florio once in this town.
Well, so I need to make it clear, I did not know about all this history, and I still don't. No, and I didn't know when I tweeted what the guy does. I just know he has like 300 some thousand followers on Twitter, and I remember specifically him saying to run fastballs or whatever it is up in on the DH's hand. And the funniest part about the tweet is the thing I was most upset about is that he referred to me as the DH, and then he referred to me as the Pasquatch in that tweet. So it was more so I took it as disrespect of, oh, a few weeks ago I was just the DH, huh? And now I'm the Pasquatch. So then I was like, you know what, Jason? Weren't you the guy that wanted to hit me? I got no problem pitching in. No problem at all. You want to pitch in? I get it. That's a part of a scouting report. It's not actually a part of my scouting report for the most part, but it is a part of a scouting report. And I get it. I was totally prepared. I don't know if you guys noticed in the playoffs, I think I hit more foul balls than I've ever hit in my life. Because I was ready for people to pitch in. So I got no problem with people pitching in, but don't refer to me as the DH when you know who I am. I just don't like that.
He needs to look up his own scouting report. You played a lot of games at first base this year.
Well, but at least in the playoffs, I was the DH. So I got no problem with that. I don't act like you don't know who I am, and then you know me so well that you call me by a nickname. I don't like that.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
I would like to say I have no personal problem with the guy because I don't know him. So I don't have a problem with him because I don't know him. It's hard to have a problem with somebody you don't know.
Fair enough. There's definitely people in Kansas City that can't stand the guy. I'll tell you that, though, long before this, going back to 14 and 15. So I think people right away enjoyed your tweet as we're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Did you catch any of the Chiefs game on Sunday? Obviously, they're 7-0, and they were out at Arrowhead West in Vegas over the weekend.
Yeah, there was a nice little win. I didn't catch all of it, but it was on TV when I had the red zone on, so it would come up. Another nice win, 7-0. Hard to complain. Is it the weirdest 7-0 you've ever seen?
I mean, for all of them to be essentially single point games, single score games. It kind of feels like that way, Vinny. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's. But at the end of the day, you find ways to win games. That's your job. So it's. I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird, but it's great because it probably makes you better come playoff time is when you're playing in all these close games. So just another week of Chiefs excellence. Who do they play this weekend?
They have the Tampa Bay Bucks on Monday Night Football.
Is the game in Kansas City or in Tampa?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Feels like 8-0 is on the way. hard to predict for a team to lose when they've never lost this season.
You mentioned you were watching Red Zone, so obviously they were keying in on that Bears-Commanders game throughout. I don't know if you sent a text to your teammate Michael Massey or not. I feel like that was a text-worthy game to send a condolence after a Hail Mary got him.
So I texted him when the Bears scored the touchdown, him in a group chat with another Chicago friend, and I said, fellas, it looks good. And then that happened, and Massey responded immediately and said, this is why I did not respond right away. I've seen enough Bears football to know that something wrong was about to happen.
Oh, man. You sent the text and everything. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I did. I felt good about it. I didn't know that. It was just a tough sequence of events for the Chicago Bears there.
This feels like you guys can commiserate a little bit because it feels like the Jets and the Bears have been stuck in kind of like quarterback purgatory for so long. They don't know like which way to go.
Yeah. The Jets are just no good right now. They have actually been no good for 13 years. It's tough. It's really tough. I think I saw something. It was somebody my age said that the last time the Jets were good, I was in eighth grade. That was a long time ago. I'm getting up there in age. So did you see the stat that 750 games, if you gave up less than 250 yards, you score more than 20 points, you don't commit a turnover in the NFL, you're 756-0. now in the NFL, you're 756-1.
Like, I don't know what it is, Vinny, but like when franchises have really lost their way, they will lose in ways you're like, I didn't even think this was possible.
Well, okay, like we were just talking about with the Chiefs, right? They find ways to win. The Jets are the opposite. They're going along, doing fine, and then they just find a way to lose. And it's not the most fun I've ever had as a fan, but I keep the faith. And guess what, fellas? Thursday night, Jets football in primetime again against the Houston Texans.
Now, that's in the Meadowlands, right? Are you going out to a game? Have you been there this year yet?
I have not been there this year. I was planning on going for the Sunday night game against the Colts in a few weeks. I don't think that'll be a Sunday night game anymore, and I don't know if I'll be going. But I will be on a trip this weekend, so I will not be in New York.
When you look at what the Chiefs are doing, we asked ourselves the same question, so I'll ask you, our NFL insider. What chance do you give the Chiefs to go undefeated? You know, 10%, 5%? You know, what chance do you give them to actually go undefeated?
To go undefeated, I mean, it's never been done before and win the Super Bowl, right? So it's funny, a team that has been so clear that they want a three-peat as bad as they do, you would imagine that the cherry on top would be to not lose a game.
yeah, that would add to it.
I don't know. I'd probably say less than 5%, but it's not zero. It's just hard to win every single game. I mean, you'd think something would go wrong. I'm not saying something will go wrong, but you would think at some point, you know, there will be a fumble or an interception or, you know, just something that doesn't bounce your way, because the game is hard enough that you need some things to go your way, and they've earned it. Like, I'm not saying by any stretch it's lucky, because it's not lucky. It's just hard to predict an undefeated season, even if things look pretty good for it.
Yeah, I think we believe that if they were to go to Buffalo and beat the Bills in a couple weeks, that's when maybe the conversation starts to become real for a lot of people at that point, because what, they'd be 10-0, I think, after that game. And at that point, the Texans and Steelers would really be the toughest remaining games on their schedule.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that's like weird about teams potentially going undefeated is it feels like it's always like the game you don't think about that gets you. Like, they play the Raiders again, right? Like, it's just division games are just weird. They're just weird all the time. Like, it would be the division that would probably scare me the most, even if the teams aren't very good, just because it's like, it feels like it means a little bit more for those other teams.
Vinny, I want you to know the people in the text line are offering to chip in to get you a coffee table if you, you know, really want one.
Take that money and donate it to Wayside Waifs. I can get my own coffee table, but go help out those animals at that shelter.
Before we let you go, I did want to ask you, we mostly stick to football, but Salvador Perez winning the Roberto Clemente Award last night. How happy were you for Salvi to get the award?
Awesome. Couldn't have happened to a better guy, better teammate, better pillar of the organization, and better, you know, almost face of the city. He's just great. And, I mean, the road he's had to the big leagues and being in Kansas City for as long as he has and winning a World Series, being the World Series MVP. I mean, it's just incredible what the guy's done for the city. And this feels like a cherry on top, too, of just being recognized by the league for what he does. And couldn't be happier for him. I know the whole team was pumped for him, and it was great to see him last night in New York. I know he would have rather been playing last night, but I'm sure that was just a sweet for him to be able to get recognized by the league like that. That was really incredible.
I think from the outside, we talk about how big of a deal major league players look about it. Salvador Perez said it was the most important award he's ever won. How do baseball players view that award, contextually? Because, like, I'm not an MLB player, but it seems like it is maybe one of the most coveted things you can do.
Yeah, it's probably the most prestigious award you can get, because it's great to be honored for the things that you do on the field. But we have such a big following and kind of profile that to be able to do things off the field is just incredible. And then to be recognized for kind of, you know, the efforts that you give off the field, it's really second to none, because playing Major League Baseball is great. And, you know, all the awards that come with that and all the accolades and everything is fantastic, but being able to actually take what's kind of being given to you and provide for your city and provide for people around you is just, I mean, that's why you do it, right? Is for that. And for him to win that award, it's just fantastic.
Well-deserved, awesome. Part of his legacy in Kansas City continues to grow with something like that. Vinny, appreciate it, man. Enjoy the trip this weekend, and we'll check in next week.
Thanks, guys.
So that was Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, a little bit earlier on today. It was terrific, obviously talking about the NFL, but also some fun there about his TV setup. And you suggested he needs like a little area rug or something. It's
I think like a table or an area rug, you know.
But he also brings up a good point.
Fresh up the space.
If he doesn't care, it's just his spot. He just wants a spot, then so be it.
I just can't get over you. Like, but where do you put a drink? He said, on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the as far as the Roberto Clemente Award, someone texted it in. I said it earlier, right after we had Vinny. Yeah, it's how we talk about the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award in the NFL, 100% with you on the text line. That's exactly why it's a big deal. I mean, everybody has talked about that. You know, it's one thing to have the MVPs and all that, but if you can get that attached to your name, it's pretty special. And now Salvador Perez has that as well. One final thing, just before we wrap up, as we were talking about the trades today, the trade today in the NFL with Deontay Johnson going to the Ravens. I've seen a ton of reaction on the text line or social media. I'm sure you have as well, Cody. People surprised how little compensation it took to get Deontay Johnson to the Baltimore Ravens with just a pick swap. I think if you go back to what Nate Taylor told us 30 minutes ago or so, when he said, hey, he was hearing that Deontay Johnson really preferred or would only go to an East Coast team. Well, that narrows your market down drastically. So that might explain why everybody's looking at the compensation or like, wait, so Deontay Johnson was essentially free? I think what it is, think about how many East, he's already played for the Steelers. They can't trade him back there. The Giants aren't in the mix. The Jets aren't in the mix. So we're talking about a handful of teams, Baltimore and what, Philadelphia? Like, there's not many other East Coast teams. Miami has Falcons, healthy Tyreek Hill. Like, that's about it. I don't count the Falcons as East Coast personally, but that's a whole other conversation. But, like, so I think the teams were so limited.
Narrow market.
All right, thanks again to Nate Taylor. Thanks to Vinny Pasquantino. We're back at it tomorrow. We'll have Ross Tucker join us on the show, perhaps Matt Verderam as well. Have a good rest of the day. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob coming up next.